Howdy, hello, and welcome to episode 117 of Fat Love Talk. Here today on the pod, this is your host, Zachary, coming at you after a long 10-hour workday where I'm pretty sure I had a panic attack. Don't worry, I'm fine. I just had a bit of a day. And I wanted to do today's episode because, Tuesdays are my best days to record, and I wanted to capitalize on that while I had the chance. So today, as you can probably tell from the title of this podcast, I want to talk about live service games, and specifically, I want to break down battle pass games, or games rather, that offer a battle pass. Now, generally speaking, on a very fundamental level, I don't agree with the battle pass model. However, for live service games that are free to play, I don't mind it as much because those games make their money from the cosmetics, the shop, the battle pass. When there's a live service game, or even not a live service, but a paid experience where entry costs some sort of currency, 30, 40, up to 70 plus dollars, that's when I start to have a bit of an issue. For the longest time, I would just say since Ghosts, Call of Duty Ghosts was released, I've bought Call of Duty every year. I've played Call of Duty every year. I've played Zombies, multiplayer, the campaign, whatever that third experience might be if Zombies is not there that year. I've experienced it all. And when they introduced the Battle Pass system, I thought to myself, this could be cool. I mean, I don't actually know what my thoughts were initially, but I'm pretty sure I wasn't opposed to it. Now in 2023, I'm noticing that games, there's the market is so saturated with Battle Pass offerings that other developers might decide, oh, well, it's normal to throw a battle pass in there, and we can probably make some extra money off of that, doing a little bit of extra work to offer a cosmetic or two. I personally don't agree with that decision. Some games really do work well off of the battle pass system. You know, free-to-play games, come to mind, Fortnite, I guess, is very big in that capitalization. It's free to play. You buy the battle pass and you play it for free. If you play enough, you know, the battle pass is your incentive to keep playing their game. Because the more you play, the more XP you earn, the more XP you earn, the more you fill up the battle pass, yada yada. Rinse and repeat. That's the way this works, right? So, my problem is I paid $70 for Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2. And the battle pass is going to be $10. You buy the battle pass, $10, right? Might have been $20 actually. $10 or $20. If you play the game enough to earn Call of Duty credits or points or whatever they're called, you can buy the next season's battle pass without paying for it. Essentially meaning you play our game, you get the battle pass. If you don't play it enough and you don't earn all of the tiers or enough of them to capitalize on the COD points that get you the next season's pass, well, Bob's your uncle. Sucks to be you. So they incentivize it the same way other games do. You get it for free if you play it. We want you to play our game. Here's our way to keep you playing the game. But Season 2 of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 has been a big time issue. Now, let's take a step back because this podcast will primarily focus on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, since that's what I play. Season 1 of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 had a zero original map offerings. And season 2 had one original map offering. Say what you want about Museum, That map was in the beta, therefore it is not a new map. Yes, it is a new original map to Modern Warfare 2 in Call of Duty franchise. However, it was in the beta, so the fact that they pulled it from launch had to correct some copyright issues and then re-released it during the season pass or during the season as a new offering when it should have been a launch map. I'm going to say it, pardon my French, but that is a dog shit thing to do. Flat out. Shame on Activision. Shame on the studios, plural, behind that. Shame on anybody who defends that notion, line of thinking, or action. I don't agree with it. And then in season two on the refresh, when you finally do add a new original map, a brand new offering, the map is so fucking big, so fucking large, so fucking ginormous, so fucking layered, that it is a nightmare. What happened to classic Call of Duty three-lane map design? All this bullshit, diagonal, upper layer, down layers, middle layers. I get it when you're playing a game like Advanced Warfare, Infinite Warfare, the jumpy exosuit crap, hover, slide, bullshit wall run stuff that they did in Black Ops 3, which, by the way, Black Ops 3 is the best Call of Duty game in my opinion since I've started. And I justify the wall running as a mechanic that was good for those maps, whereas there's no wall running in this game. Why the F do we have the map designs we have right now? Also, they re-released Dome, thinking that it was a fan favorite, or claiming that it was a fan favorite, when in reality, it was not a fan favorite. It was just a map they decided to throw in there that, honestly, in my opinion, is not a great map. This is my personal opinion. I did not enjoy Dome. Never have in any version of Call of Duty. The dock in the back is dog. The upper level on the dome gives you some crap angles that honestly are unfair to other players who, honestly, unless they're looking in that direction, stand no chance. And then they have the staircase right outside where the dome can look on that other side of the map, where what's the objective there? Because you either have a bad angle looking up or you have a bad angle looking down. There's nothing about that map that makes it a Call of Duty favorite, in my opinion. Now, there are a couple of Call of Duty map favorites I personally enjoy, and none of those have been put in. But we still have season 3, 4, and 5, and potentially a season 6. And that's if they don't do the rumored part 2 campaign thing that they're trying to do, where they make more Modern Warfare 2 content for another year. We don't actually know what that's going to look like, but we will see. Sorry, guys, Jennifer got home and I had to cut my segment short for a second, but I am back and I was currently riffing on, I'm not even riffing, sorry, I'm foggy right now. I was kind of just talking about Dome not being a good Call of Duty map as far as like Call of Duty favorites or fan favorites or whatever it's called. There was a map that the name escapes me, please forgive me, guys. Where there was a roundabout in the front, and there was like a horse statue. It was a red statue in the front, and then it went through some pillars that had like several archways into a middle area that had a downward area, and then you can go left and right to two different sides of the map. And on the other side of that were some stairs, double stairs, that went down to a pool. And then to the left of the pool was a basketball court. To the right of the pool was an upward sniping area. And then past that was some garages. I don't know exactly what that map was called, but Call of Duty people will know exactly what I'm talking about because they probably loved that map too. If they brought that map back and remastered it and kind of, did a fun little mix on that, I would probably very much enjoy that. But Dome is not on my list of favorites. While we're on the topic, since I got distracted and I have to kind of regather my thoughts, I do want to say there needs to be a hardcore 10v10, please. I adamantly and just as strongly as I could express, want a hardcore 10v10. I do not want to play core 10v10. I want to play hardcore 10v10. Please, is that too much to ask for? On top of that, and since we're asking things that are impossible to get from Call of Duty, Activision, or any studios working on that title, I would like the new mode for Modern Warfare 2, Prisoner Rescue, to be available on a hardcore playlist. Because I really thoroughly and very much so like that playlist. I like it more than Search. That's my favorite game mode for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, but guess how little I've played it since Season 2 started. I played it in Season 1 a little bit, and I played it a lot during the beta and during the preseason. I don't know why their flagship new modes are locked behind core, and there's never been any playlist updates to allow it as a hardcore, even temporarily. I don't understand why they're locking it behind core gameplay. I really enjoy that mode. Why won't you let me and my pals squad up and do a little prisoner rescue on hardcore? Two cents. Maybe it's meant to be core because it's supposed to be like a competitive thing, and that's what they were going for. And hardcore takes away from that competitiveness. And to be fair, they did correct and add hardcore in Season 2 instead of that bullshit mode they had before where your health was reduced and it was limited HUD, and it was awful. I'm glad that they at least heard the community saying how bad that mode was, and they've given us true, actual hardcore. But more back on topic with the live service conversation, Battle Pass conversation. Call of Duty doesn't need a Battle Pass. I see why it has a Battle Pass, but it doesn't need a Battle Pass. I think Call of Duty is grasping onto the ideal that maybe it's not as popular as it once was when the sales speak otherwise. Every game has a bumpy start, but Call of Duty, unless they absolutely in just in glorious style fumble the ball like Battlefield 2042 at launch, they're never going to be in a position where they have to worry about people leaving their franchise. Call of Duty fans, the nice thing about them, myself included, is that they're pretty much lifers. They're going to stick with the franchise through thick and thin, through highs and lows. Whether or not those players like myself play that title more or less, depends on the gameplay. But I thoroughly enjoy Call of Duty campaigns, so no matter what, I'll buy Call of Duty to play the campaign. And I'll check out the multiplayer every year. Some years I play it more than others. Infinite Warfare, barely touched it, never prestiged once. Currently, Modern Warfare 2, I am level 359 or something like that. Not quite at the 500 cap for the current season, but I'm definitely putting in the time. And I have most assuredly earned the $70 I've spent in playtime. So I've definitely gotten my money's worth if I were to stop today and never play that game again. That being said, other games were Infinite Warfare. I didn't spend a lot of time in it. They were obviously fundamental core mechanical changes that took away from my ability to want to play that game more. And therefore, by playing other games more, I feel like it sort of warrants the $70 entry fee, especially if I played the campaign and got enjoyment from that. Which for Infinite Warfare, I actually didn't finish the campaign, even though I wanted to. Which one day maybe I'll go back and finish that campaign because I heard it was pretty lengthy and I heard that it was pretty fun. But I digress, we will see. I think that games that are free to play, like, oh, I don't know, Fortnite, and what's the other epic game? The fighting one with the punching. I made a video for my channel, I think it was Knockout or something similar to that extent. I think Brawlhalla is free to play. I think Multiverses is free to play. There's a couple other ones that I'm missing, but I know that they have battle passes, and I know that they have offerings where you can buy things that are not battle pass exclusive, and they are perfectly fine with that because they're in the shop. Those purchases in the shop are awesome. Those are fine for any game that offers that sort of multiplayer gameplay experience. Now, I'm going to put a big fat asterisk on that and contradict myself because as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking about what's going to happen when The Last of Us Part 2 multiplayer is released. I have a feeling they're going to announce it this year during Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest in June. Why do I think that? Because the HBO show is on fire right now. The Last of Us Part 1 PC release is getting a lot of scrutiny right now. The Last of Us Part 2 being released, or sorry, The Last of Us Part 1 being released for PS5 and next generation consoles is getting a lot of either praise or scrutiny, depending on who you ask. I plan on picking it up at some point. It's the right time. They're high on, all this attention, so they need to make sure that they have people who are like, hey, if you enjoyed this and you want to be immersed in this world, we are making a fully immersive multiplayer experience. Those who played the original game, The Last of Us, not originally called Part One, just The Last of Us, it got made Part One when they released Part Two, and had a sequel. And personally, I think Part Two and Part One sound way better than just one and two, honestly. It just seems more cohesive because if they do make a Part Three, which has been rumored, then that would be pretty dope. And I wonder how they would incorporate that into the TV show. Because they would always get to a point, unless it was a trilogy that ended, they would get to a point where the show would have to keep evolving the game, and then you might get into spoiler territory for the game and the movie. It's a whole thing. So I digress. If they come out with a Last of Us multiplayer experience, which they're working on it, they are going to come out with one. I wonder if they're going to implement a live service model where they make you pay for the game, or if it's going to be free to play with a Battle Pass offering. Now, in the world of The Last of Us, you can't really throw on a unicorn skin and throw some wild, fire bolts that shoot dragons onto your bow and arrow because it doesn't makes sense. It kills the immersion of The Last of Us, right? The apocalyptic universe, not even universe, just world that was created by Naughty Dog, and I feel like there's no reason for that. I feel like they could lock characters and weapons behind levels, but I don't feel like they could do much with cosmetics, but every game has cosmetics. Now, here's what I think they could do. Kill the battle pass idea. You're going to lose people right out of the gate if you announce that. What you do instead is you say, hey, depending if they have a PlayStation or Microsoft exclusive, throw like a Microsoft or an X or a Sony pack that's free for PlayStation Plus players or free for Microsoft Live subscribers. Boom. That gets people in the gate like, ooh, I get some free stuff. Then, hear me out, then put in some bundles in the shop. Because there's going to be a shop of some kind, right? I don't care if that is a character skin pack. I don't care if that is a weapons pack. I don't care if that is something that gives you additional ammo or something along those lines. Don't make it pay to win. Make it fair and cosmetic. And we are good to go. Now, there is the chance, rather, how in The Last of Us, you could craft and you could upgrade your weapons through crafting, all this stuff. In The Last of Us Part 1, there was a multiplayer where you could craft on the fly, and they could really build on that, make it to where you can craft on the fly, find materials in the world, and craft like Molotov cocktails or spike balls or traps and stuff like that. And that's really, really clever. That's really, really cool. What I don't want to see is you can buy weapon upgrades in the shop. If you can start buying weapon upgrades in the shop alongside earning them, and it becomes like a mobile game where it's faster to just pay to get what you want, I will be greatly turned off, like immediately turned off. I would very much like to buy and play a Last of Us Part 2 multiplayer experience. But if they start picking up that live service model, that pay-to-win model, that mobile bullcrap model, you guys have heard me talk a lot about Disney Mirrorverse on this podcast. I have my ups and downs with it. And currently, because I'm working 10-hour days, 9 to 10-hour days, 6 days a week, I am getting a lot less time to play. And it's at a point now where because I have so little time free, it just feels tedious to even get on that game, to even put my time into it. Because they are obviously, by their decisions in the game updates, they are obviously saying, we don't care about you as a customer. We don't care about you as a player. We don't care about you as a consumer. We don't care about you because our literal Discord page where we have people who can reach out to you with questions and concerns. You can reach out to the community. There's nobody posting in that. There is a reason why I'm falling off. I don't feel like I'm getting anything from it. The problem I had was the more guardians that they release into that game, the harder it is to pull a guardian you want from a crystal. I don't want to spend money on a gamble. If I wanted to gamble, I'd go to the casino and I would know ahead of time the money I'm losing. I'm not going to spend however much money on crystals that give me a less than 5% chance to get the guardian I paid for a crystal of. If I buy a the famed crystals are the ones where you can get a higher percent chance to get a certain guardian based on the famed crystal you got. So let's say I want Woody from Toy Story. I love Woody. He's a sheriff. Awesome sauce. If I buy a Woody famed crystal, I have a, what is it? A 38% chance, I think, to get a 2-star Woody. I have a like 20% chance to get a 3-star, a 14% chance to get a 4-star, and then I think, no, wait, it's even worse than that, because I know for a fact, I've seen this and been like, what the fuck? It's literally a 2.83% chance, I might be wrong on that, don't quote me, it's under a 3% chance to get a 5-star Woody from a famed crystal. So you have a less than 50% chance. The odds are stacked absolutely against you to even get that guardian 1-star through 5-star at all on a fucking famed crystal. You paid for a Woody famed, and you might get fucking Mike Wazowski. You might get Tinkerbell. You might get Cruella de Vil. You could get literally any fucking body who's ever been released into the Mirrorverse as a playable character. But no. You have a 30 or 40% chance of maybe getting a 1-star Woody. And that's on top of the fact that 1 stars give you like 10 points towards a 1500 point level up on like star power. It's insane. The statistics, if you look at it, are so obviously stacked against you. They want you to dig deep into your nostalgia and love for Disney slash Pixar. And my love is not I mean, how deep is your love, right? Mine's not that deep, guys. I've spent either 100 or over 100 on that game, and I've gotten absolutely jack fucking shit. Do I have a couple 5-star Mr. Incredible pulls? Sure. Did I get lucky by pulling those because it's random fucking chance? Yes. Do I have friends who have spent the same amount of money on that game and gotten jack absolute dog shit? Yes. My luck was a little bit better, so I got some decent pulls. I have some guardians that get me further in the game. And guess what? You get bad pulls, you get bad guardians, you're locked behind the power of your guardians. You want a level 100 guardian at a 4-star or a 3-star? Good luck doing fucking anything on the harder difficulties in the game. They force you to have a higher guardian. This podcast is not about mobile games or Disney Mirrorverse. I apologize. That was a. Whew! Should never have gotten me started on that. Now I'm even more tired than I was when I started this podcast. Boy, I'm sorry, guys. Bear with me. There's a lot of things as a gamer that I am so abhorrently against. So abhorrently against. And I really wish that the people who made these games still loved games. The people who make video games, I don't feel always love video games or have a passion for video games. When you play a good, solid video game that you just know they put their love and heart and attention to detail into, those games, generally speaking, do not have pay to win, pay to progress faster, battle pass systems, live service models. I take that last one back. Some games are really cool. Look what Fortnite turned into. I take back that last one about live service models. But you can tell when a developer and employees working for a developer really are passionate about a project and really want it to be successful because they love it. They genuinely enjoy the product they're making. You know, you can really see that. And I start to feel like lately a lot of games have convoluted their own progress or their own success with this fad that you have to start following the trends, and if you don't have a certain thing, then you're effed. That Suicide Squad Kills to Justice League game, really, you know, shot itself in the foot when they announced the Battle Pass system. And the thing I hate the most about some video games is, you know how on the first Division game, how the enemies were bullet sponges? When their levels went up, it just meant they had more HP, and they were just bullet sponge, bullet sponge, bullet sponge. Games I thoroughly enjoy are FPS first person titles. I genuinely enjoy those. But more than that, I genuinely enjoy action RPGs and deep skill trees and starting the game as a grunt where you die to a fucking, you know, pet dog in somebody's front yard, and then at the end of the game you're taking on fucking God of War style bosses and you're just insanely impressed by the cinematics and the fact that your abilities have grown due to the time you invested to earn that. And it was all your doing. You chose to earn it manually. I don't know. I feel like the Battle Pass and live service model are getting into the wrong games. You know, to get back to my point, the Division had that bullet sponge issue. Suicide Squad Kills Justice League was really exciting for me because I really wanted to play that. When I saw that announcement, I literally lost interest and said, I will not be playing this. If it's a PlayStation Plus free game, I'd love to try it one day. I'm not even joking. I was turned off. The game looks cool. I'm really, really, really fucking sad about Kevin Conroy, and I want to support that game because his voicing Batman is his last role as a voice actor. I really do want to support that game and hope that it is successful. But I don't want to spend money on a game that when I only have a few hours anyway to play, that I'm not going to have fun in those few hours. I'm not going to sit here and force myself to enjoy something. That's no way to live your life. That's no way to be. Yes, I'm a gamer. Yes, I love the video games industry. Yes, I'm fucking excited for Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest. While I am sad about E3, I'm happy to see Jeff Keighley's success, and I'm happy to see where we go next, and I'm happy for all of the video game announcements as a consumer that I'm really excited to be excited about, so that I can maybe yes or no buy a game that has a cool trailer. You know, see some cool first look gameplay. My favorite IGN employee, Brian Altano, might be doing some IGN stuff, and I will hopefully be looking at his stuff. But don't get me wrong, I love Max Scoville. He's awesome. They kind of riff off each other a bunch. I really love a lot of the personalities at IGN. Per Schneider on Nintendo, I love him. Lily Sense Salazar is no longer with IGN, but she was really cool. There's just a lot of people who I follow in the games industry that have gone through IGN as an employer, and I still follow them. Fudge, what is Tom's last name? He's a PC guy, but he's on Nintendo. He's on the Nintendo Switch voice chat podcast a lot. Tom something. He had a really, really funny meme at one point in the IGN community. I'm so bad. I'm so sorry for missing that name up. But there's a lot of people there, and you know, it's exciting because I do memorize this stuff. I do know this stuff. To me, Brian Altano is a celebrity. Y'all might be saying, "What? He's a normal guy who works for IGN." No, he's not a celebrity by any means of the definition of that word. Well, for me as a gamer, I listen to his podcasts. I listen to his coverage of video games. I've followed him for years and years and years. I know his face. I know his name. I take his opinions on social media about book recommendations, about how he lost weight when he did, about all this stuff. I find it I'm he's somebody I may never meet in my life that I know online. He's a celebrity to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe that's just one line of thinking. I don't know. But I digress. I've been rambling for too long on this podcast. I love you guys. Please take care of yourselves. Don't like Battle Pass systems that very much. This podcast kind of got out of my hands and kind of took a life of its own. So this podcast has already gone over half an hour, so I'm not gonna keep going. But you guys know how to find me on social media if you want to reach out. If you want to leave me a voice message on Anchor, which actually is now called Podcasts for Spotify. So if you want to download the app and send me a voice message, I'd love to have a conversation, or reach out to me on social media. Riverside now has a way for me to do a recording on Riverside through my phone, and that'd be freaking cool to have a video version of my podcast through our phones, and we could do a little video podcast together, have a back and forth discussion about video games or whatever else you want to discuss. But that being said, guys, I do love you. I appreciate you. I'll see you guys on the other side of my next podcast, and take care of yourselves. I'm out.